On the travel guys.
In the travel news, Southwest Airlines declares an operational emergency. The State Department warns you not to go to Turkey or Haiti. And United Airlines says the TV is free from now on.
At 3:20, we make you a smarter traveler on a variety of subjects. Everything from Marriott Rewards points to a reminder that hotel cancellation time is local time, not the time zone you may reside in.
At 3:35, Steve LaRosa, who's in for Tom today, has his popular What's Going On segment, great things to do around Northern California, a Gordon Lightfoot concert, a French film festival, and a concert by a band which features an old friend are all on Steve's list.
Finally, at 3:50, we talk with the authors on a new book, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. Cool things like movie theater sing-alongs and even a cheese school.
As you can tell, we have a really interesting hour for you. Thanks for joining us on today's edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
Look to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
Welcome, everyone, to the latest edition of The Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Mark Hoffman. Joining me here today, as Tom has run away to Disneyland with his wife, grown children run to Disneyland. Tom runs to Disneyland fairly frequently because he's never gotten over the... Steve LaRosa is in Tom's chair today. Welcome, Steve, to The Travel Guys.
Thank you, Mark. Filling in a big pair of shoes. What's Tom, about a 12D, I think?
And what brings you here today, Mr. LaRosa?
I'm gonna do a little co-hosting with you, but I also I'm bringing back What's Going On by popular demand, and today we'll be featuring a lot of music, a little bit of comedy, and some Patrick's Day prep.
In my office last week, over at Sports Leisure Vacation, somebody said something. They were talking about weeknight television programs. And things that followed the news that came on at 7 o'clock at night. And somebody said, "You remember this? You remember that program that was on Channel 3 years ago? What was it called? It was like Weekend or Weeknight or something that was after the news?" And I said, "I think I know something. I think I know somebody who was involved in that show. Wasn't that your? That was your program."
I was involved with that show, despite the public outcry, Mark. And it was it may have been. We think it may have been the first of its kind in the country, a magazine format, local magazine format show that followed the news in primetime access.
And you did that with Betty Vasquez, was your
Harry
partner?
Harry Martin and Betty Vasquez hosted.
Yeah.
And I produced it for a while, and then I reported.
Yeah.
For a while. We had a ball.
That was kind of a fun time. It's Paul Robbins is back on the air at Y92 now in the afternoon.
We last worked on the legendary TV Light show, and Paul teamed up with his old buddy Phil Cowan, and they did a duo thing for that show.
Well, good. Guys, back on the radio for the second time around. Welcome to The Travel Guys. If this is your first time listening to us, our goal is to make you a smarter traveler and to share some things that you might not know about, or maybe share them with you in a little bit different light. We have, besides Steve, What's Going On, we have later on in the program, we're going to talk to a couple of ladies who wrote a book, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die, and they've sent me an advanced copy, so I've pulled out 7 or 8 different items there that we can talk about to them. So I know folks from Sacramento go down to the city quite often, and if you are one of those people, I love to take the train down there myself, since the traffic has gotten so bad on Highway 80 these days, but lots of things to do in San Francisco, so maybe you'll pick up something there, and we'll make you a smarter traveler at 3:20. But first, like we do on every Travel Guys show about this time, we have for you the travel news. Steve, I was sitting in my office yesterday putting together the program, and I saw this story on Southwest Airlines about how you can become a Southwest storyteller and win free flights.
Say what?
If you have a story about Southwest Airlines, and I thought, oh, well, that's kind of neat. I'll lead with that in the news tomorrow.
Hmm.
I went away for about 20 minutes and came back to the screen, and one of the news services that I use to put together this segment of the program, the screen has changed now from the storyteller screen to Southwest Airlines declares operational emergency. And I'm like, well, this is certainly different than being a storyteller and winning free tickets. Southwest Airlines is apparently having about 40 aircraft a day out of service, which is about twice their normal number of planes out. It's a combination of the FAA declaring that they had to inspect 22 Boeing 737 fuel pumps because there was some issue with the maintenance issue with the O-ring. So those planes all had to be pulled out. And some people believe that the airline's out of service problems directly relate to the contract talks Southwest is involved in with members of the Aircraft Mechanics Fraternal Association. They have been in contract negotiations for 6 years. Usually Southwest Airlines is pretty proactive with their contractual things, and most of their employees through the years have generally been pretty happy with them. They haven't had too much in the way of labor issues, but this one apparently is coming. There's some disputes here, and I won't go into all of this, but what it means is that if you're flying Southwest Airlines in the next couple of weeks, Southwest also really prides themselves on completing their schedule. And they frequently have days where they complete the entire schedule, which for an airline that flies 1,500, 2,000 flights a day, to fly them all is really an accomplishment and is rarely done by major airlines. So Southwest really prides themselves in completing their flights, even if it's 2, 3, 4 hours late. By God, get that plane and those people where it's supposed to go. So if you are flying a Southwest flight in the next week or two, keep an eye on things because they may come up a plane short or two here and there, and that will mean that some flights might not go.
So what I'm inferring here is that after the show, we got our toolboxes, we're heading out to the airport, and just in case they need us to fill in on anything.
Well, that's what I'm thinking is they pay those airline mechanics pretty good money, so I don't know anything about fixing airplanes, but I could walk around with, you know, grease on my hands and overalls and a wrench in my pocket. Yeah, exactly, and make it look like exactly. The U.S. State Department has issued travel warnings for Haiti and Turkey. Turkey's travel warning, actually, these are previous warnings. Turkey's travel warning has been raised to a level 3, which means reconsider travel. So if you were planning on going to Turkey, the State Department, who I've found to be fairly accurate in these things over the years, when they start going, when they just go, maybe, probably, you know, I mean, that's not, things are not going well there right now. Yeah, that's not usually. But when they come out and say, really, you probably ought to reconsider going, or in the case of Haiti, level 4, which is do not travel. So because they think that there are going to be some civil disruptions there in Haiti over the next couple of weeks. So if you are scheduled to go to Turkey or Haiti, be careful. Also, we are strong believers here at the Travel Guys of the State Department STEP program, STEP, where you register with the State Department online when you're leaving the country before you leave, so they know where you are. So if you happen to go someplace and there was civil unrest or something like that, somebody would, either phone lines all go out, there are no cell towers, something like that, somebody in your government would know that you are there. I don't know that they're going to send a jet airplane to pick you up, but at least somebody would know that you were there. Steve, your wife is sitting across from us here in the studio.
That's Laura. We actually haven't gotten married or anything like that, Mark, but thanks for dropping
that was lovely, yes. Good job, Mark. 2,000 couples, this was leading to something. 2,000 couples renewed their vows on Carnival Cruise Lines on Valentine's Day.
Ah.
So this was obviously not on one ship, but on ships all over Carnival Cruise Lines, 2,000. The previous record was around 1,000. So they offered folks the opportunity. So if you're going on Carnival Cruise Lines with your wife, then you can get your vows renewed on Valentine's Day next year.
Let me guess, you've got your certificate. You can, as the leader of the tour group, you can, create marriage licenses right on the spot.
I never thought about that. We've had 3 or 4 couples get married on tour over the years, but I've never been one of the people to do it. Had a couple go to Reno on a gambling special. This has been 1,000 years ago. And got back on the bus in the afternoon, and she was wearing this, I mean, you know, you could see it coming across the room kind of sort of thing. And I commented on her ring, and she said, yeah, I just got this today. Isn't it nice? And it turned out that they had gone up there to get married. So we had a champagne toast on the way home and all kinds of fun things. Yes, we've had a couple. We don't run those day trips to the casinos are not as popular as they used to be anymore. You know, when I started in business 40 years ago, when people retired, it was almost a law. You got on a bus and went to Reno or Lake Tahoe, you know, once a month. And you'd pay $15-$20 to take the bus up there, and they would give you a rebate when you got up there, maybe a food coupon. And never mind the fact that some people would lose many hundreds of times what they were given to go up there. But for people who control their gambling situation, it was a pretty good, it was cheap entertainment.
What era would you say when they stopped wearing coat and tie and dresses and high heels, like to Tahoe or San Francisco?
To the casinos?
Both.
I would say probably 1980s. In the 80s, I would say. Well, you know, Bill Hara integrated the casinos up there, and the whole bringing people up on the bus and stuff was what made Tahoe a year-round, seven-day-a-week destination. And Bill Hara said, well, there aren't any people of color in these casinos. Why is that? And people explained to him that, well, that wasn't socially acceptable at the time. And he said, well, those people have money. They want to gamble. Let's get them in here.
Yeah.
And so he started literally the bus program, which is how people of color started going to Harrah's and Lake Tahoe. It wasn't but a matter of a few months for the other casinos integrated also. And so Bill Hara was the guy who literally did all of that. Yes. For those of you who have just come along recently, there actually was a Bill Hara at one point.
And well loved.
And lots of stories about the times that Bill used to, you know, the road would close down. And so they would break out all these cots and stuff and put them in the ballroom, and they would feed people and stuff. Well, because he was a smart man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was taking people's money, for God's sake. So if he treated them right, they would come back and give him more of their money. I mean, it wasn't a huge thing. Bill Hara built the whole Harrah's Lake Tahoe on float. He didn't pay his bills on time ever till the very last minute. Three or four times they came out to turn the lights off at Harrah's Tahoe. And literally the guy met him at the door and said, here's the money in cash for the bill. And so you don't have to turn the light. Yeah, Hara played it. He played it really close to the vest. And that's how he built that casino. He couldn't get entertainers, big name entertainers, to come to Tahoe because he couldn't pay them what they could make in Vegas. But of course, there's a little bit of difference in the scenery between Tahoe and Vegas. And so he created a special floor in his hotel. And when entertainers came, he kept track of everybody who came to see them, everything they ate, what time they got out of bed in the morning, what time they took a shower, everything. So when they came back the next time, he could wait on them hand and foot. And then people were like willing to work for him for $5,000 a week instead of the $15,000 they got in Vegas, because it was a great opportunity. You know, you were pampered and taken care of and all this stuff. He was the first man to allow Bill Cosby, was the man who broke the color line. Bill Cosby and Sammy Davis Jr. up at South Lake Tahoe. Anyway, I digress a little bit. United Airlines has announced free in-flight live TV for passengers. Previously, you had to pay for TV if you weren't in first class on United flights. There are 211 old Continental planes is actually what they are. They had the TVs in the back of the seat. So United is saying that TV is going to be free. Of course, you could always watch it for free on your personal device, but now you will be able to watch it for free on the airplanes that have it for free instead of throwing a credit card in. We mentioned Southwest, become a storyteller and win free Southwest flights. You can go to travelguysradio.com and see that. Delta had some problems on a flight from Southern California on Wednesday. It had to make an emergency landing in Reno. It was on its way to Seattle, and some folks got hurt. And we have some live sound from one of the folks who was on the airplane. And if you fly a lot, listen very carefully to all of these descriptions of what was going on and see if you can pick up which people were safe and which people weren't safe when turbulence hit this airplane. Now we'll try to...
There you go. Possible damage to the aircraft.
The plane was dropping, and it was dropping nose first. We were out of our chairs. We were flailing in the air. I actually thought that the plane might break up.
I saw the drink cart hit the ceiling along with the flight attendant who was doing the drink service. You can see the people who aren't belted in they're hitting the ceiling and they're flying up out of their seats.
There's multiple injuries, so they need medical personnel standing back.
Laptops and everything were flying around. I actually flew in my seat and hit the top.
Children were crying and people were just really freaked out.
So you can tell the lady said it right there in the middle of the thing. People who didn't have their seatbelts on were flying all over the place.
And I wonder what they're going to do now to think about anchoring those drink carts. Those things.
That's not the first time that's happened. Those things are very heavy.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine what it must have taken in terms of turbulence, in terms of drop in altitude, to make that drink cart hit the ceiling. So you can see that a human being. You have just, so the flight attendants, you know, we get on airplanes and we hurtle through the air at hundreds of miles an hour in an aluminum tube. And we think nothing of it, most of us, most of the time. But the reality is that there is some real danger attached to that. And that's why when you're seated, man, the best piece of advice that you can adhere to on an airplane is fasten your seatbelt. Mm-hmm. Because when something like that happens, the people who have their seatbelt fastened, they're going to end up with a bruise around their hips. And the people with their seatbelt not fastened are going to end up with all kinds of, they're going to be taken off the plane in an ambulance when the plane makes an emergency landing in Reno. So it's just something that you really have to be careful of. All right, travel news today has been full of really bummer stuff, so let's do one more thing and get it out of the way here. There was a false gun scare at a Hamilton performance in San Francisco the other night. Here's what happened. A lady had a heart attack. And somebody broke open an emergency defibrillator, and it set off an alarm. And that was at the same moment in the show on stage when Alexander Hamilton is in the middle of the duel, and there are gunshots on the stage. So here you have this weird noise and an alarm and people disruption, and now gunshots go off, and people thought that something was going on in the theater. So many people ran out of the theater. Later on, there were some people who were hurt. One person broke a leg. Two others had moderate injuries. The lady who had a heart attack was revived and remained hospitalized as of yesterday in critical condition. They did allow people to come back into the theater to get their things, and the owner of the Orpheum said audience members will be invited to see another performance of Hamilton. So, goodness gracious sakes alive, fasten your seatbelt.
Rough travels.
Yeah, rough travels. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your travel news for today. When we come back, we are going to make you a smarter traveler. We're going to talk about, do you take your own pillow when you travel? And also about canceling your hotel room. Make sure that your time zone is right. Next on The Travel Guys.
If you plan to motor west.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys, brought to us by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman here with Steve LaRosa in for Tom Romano today. A reminder that you can find links to everything we talk about on the program at travelguysradio.com, along with some other interesting things that we've just kind of saved from previous programs. You can also sign up for a podcast if you would like to. If you missed the Travel Guys show, you can listen to the podcast, sans the news and commercials. So it's about a 45-minute program, and we'll send you a note every Tuesday telling you that that's available. If you just go to travelguysradio.com, you can sign up for that. Steve, when you travel, I've seen people increasingly, and I always thought they were hauling their pillow with them because they wanted it on the plane. But now I'm kind of reading. I read this thing that says 15% of people take their own pillows with them to sleep in hotel rooms.
Love my pillow.
Have you?
I think at the very least, you might want to bring your own pillowcase.
Oh, that's a thought.
Yeah.
Well, some people are like, you know, well, I don't know where that's where that hotel, where that pillow has been. And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of hotel do you stay in? I mean, because if you don't trust the pillow, you certainly wouldn't trust the sheets. I mean, you know, or anything else. I mean, I don't know that I'd eat off of the floor of most hotels that I stay in, but I try to stay in places that, you know, that are frequented by reputable people, and, you know, where the pillowcase is not a problem. Okay, here's something that I wanted to mention. This came up on Chris Elliott's website, elliott.org, Elliott, two L's and two T's. If you're interested in consumer advocacy, especially in travel, it's a great place to go. One of the people wrote in to Chris last week one of his readers and said, you know what, here's something to really be careful of. She had a reservation overseas and the cancellation date was 3 days ahead of arrival time and at 6 p.m. And so she thought, you know, on 4 o'clock of the day that she had to cancel, she made sure that she canceled with the hotel. But unfortunately, the hotel's time was about 12 hours ahead of hers and she had already missed the cancellation deadline. And the hotel stuck to it, and she ended up having to pay $330, the equivalent of $330 U.S., to pay for the hotel room for one night. So a word of wisdom to you. First of all, if you haven't been traveling a lot or paying attention to hotel cancellation policies in recent years, they have changed pretty dramatically. Hotels no longer allow cancellation, most of them, until 6 o'clock on the day of or even the day before. So you've got to cancel your room 2 or 3 days ahead of time to avoid a charge. And you've got to keep in mind, even when you're here in the States, that on the East Coast, it's 3 hours different from when it is on the West Coast. It's 3 hours later. As you go around the planet, you can have some of the planet is over the dateline and they're on a different day. So don't cut it too carefully, too closely when you're canceling hotel rooms. And lastly here, to make you a little bit smarter traveler, Marriott Hotels has created a new name for their frequent traveler program. It's called Bonvoy. They have already rolled out the name. The program itself doesn't roll out until the first week of March, which means you have a couple of weeks. It is very likely there is a brand new higher point redemption level here. Marriott has said they're going to float more of the point levels like Hilton has. If you have Marriott points and you are thinking of reserving a Marriott hotel anytime in the next few months, I would strongly recommend that you go to the Marriott.com website and reserve the hotel now. It's possible that that hotel will cost more points after the change comes at the first of the month. Also, this new higher tier is going to allow Marriott to be able to move point totals around. So as a hotel fills up, the points required are going to be higher. So if you're a fan of Marriott Rewards, redeem your points now if you can. All right, when we come back after the news, Steve LaRosa is going to be here, and we're going to take you through what's going on. Lots of neat things to do in and around Northern California with the Travel Guys. Coming up next here on KFBK. Welcome back to the second half of the Travel Guys. Steve LaRosa is sitting in Tom Romano's chair today, which is good because it's time for Steve's version of what's going on around Northern California.
That's right, Mark. We've got quite a variety this weekend. And coming up, our first stop, we're going to head over to downtown where Gordon Lightfoot is going to be appearing at the Crest Theater at 10th and K in Sacramento. That's Monday, March 4th, and tickets at sblentertainment.com. That's sblentertainment.com, and of course,
at travelguysradio.com. Yeah, you can find all of links to all the things that Steve talks about will be at travelguysradio.com. Gordon must be pretty popular in town because he's here. He's a Canadian. He's here about once a year, it seems
I
like,
think
in
you're
concert.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So he must have a pretty solid following in town.
And we are off to Napa. Right up the Napa River there, Tom. We're going to the...
Wait. What was that sound? That was a steamboat?
You're going to have to ask Luis. He's in charge of this stuff. He is responsible.
I didn't know you could catch a boat from Sacramento to Napa, but let's it's theater of... Radio is theater of the mind. Go on, Steve.
It's the Uptown Theater in Napa. Tom's not here. It's yeah. Mark. It's the Irish Rovers, Mark. It's your traditional Irish music for, you know, they've been together for almost 50 years.
Wow.
And they've recorded 40 albums. Now, that's going to be Friday, March 1st, and tickets at UptownTheaterNapa.com. And by the way, if you Google that, it's Theatra.
Theatra?
TheatraNapa.com. Okay, we're coming back to Sac.
Apparently the boat schedule didn't work for the return trip.
You can't get back there from...
I see.
It's the Sacramento French Film Festival's 12th Winter Shorts Fest. And I was thinking, Mark, in winter, Do you prefer cotton?
I was going to say the shorts fest. You have to wear shorts to the festival, or it's going to cut into ticket sales a little bit because it's going to be in the 30s here. The next.
Actually, it's film shorts, and it's Saturday, February 23rd, and it's the doors and bar open at 6 and films at 7.
That's at the Crest. That's pretty. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That's right. 10th and K Sacramento. Tickets at Ticketfly or at the door. Now we're off to Sutter Creek.
On our bicycle?
Ask Louise.
I would have taken the horse.
Ask Louise.
I mean, I really would have taken the horse. But anyway, when we get to Sutter Creek, leave a couple of days early because you're taking your bicycle.
Okay, Mark, it's Skinnin' Leonard. And I didn't stutter. You thought I was going to say...
Leonard Skinnard.
Absolutely. It's Skinnin' Leonard, and it's a nine-piece band, and it's a tribute band. I've seen some video of these guys, and I have to tell you, they're really good. They are really good. They can play all those, you know, scorching guitar parts. And I know you're a traveling freebird yourself.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Okay, we'll see if we can get you some tickets.
I kind of like Leonard Skinner's music. That might be kind of fun.
Yeah,
Sutter Creek.
Yeah, it's a small little theater. It's on Main Street in Sutter Creek, and it's
Sutter Creek. They have done a really great job with that little town. Now that it's off of the main Highway 49 drag,
yeah, yeah.
And you can walk across the street without getting killed,
yeah.
It's really a cool little town.
Very charming. That's going to be Saturday, February 23rd, 8 p.m. Tickets at SutterCreekTheater.com. We are off to Winters. At the Palms Public Playhouse at 13 Main Street in Winters.
Look out for that speed trap around Drytown there because you were coming back from Sutter Creek. I just wanted to tell you.
Again, I'm blaming Luis for all this stuff. It's Tempest. And for 30 years, this Bay Area group has been together. They do Irish reels and Scottish ballads. And that's going to be Saturday, February 23rd, 8 p.m., ticket info, palmsplayhouse.com.
How can I be at the French Film Festival, the Skinnin' Leonard, and the Tempest? All in, I mean, these places are not even next door to each other.
You're a round, get around.
Sort of guy.
There you go. So let's come home to Sacramento.
Sure. 12 nonstops a day from Winters in the air, so
there you
that's
go.
Not a problem at all.
It's Panic at the Disco, Mark, and it's their Pray for the Wicked tour.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure a lot of prayers are going your direction. this is going to be at Golden One Center this Wednesday, February 20th. Tickets at Golden One Center.
What is Panic at the Disco?
They're sort of a, I was looking them up and they said, and this was a stretch for me, they said that they were influenced by the Beach Boys, the Beatles, and the Zombies. But maybe our next guest, who's a musicologist himself, will have insight on this band. So let's go crosstown to...
Well, yeah, of course you would walk across town. I mean, that's...
That's right, Mark. Sunday, March 3rd, 4 p.m. at the Sophia, which is Sophia at the B Street at 2700 Capitol Avenue. Comedian Jack Gallagher brings back his popular music concert entitled The Joke's on Me. It's the last one, Mark, his farewell tour. And he's supported by a great band, including Tommy Dunbar of the Rubinews and some standout Bay Area musicians, including... The amazing
now,
Dick
wait a
Bright.
Minute. Jack is a comedian.
Yes, that's true. But he loves music, and he has put together an extraordinary band.
I'm confused. It seems like if we could talk to Jack himself, if we could connect with Jack, we could clear this up as to, you know, music versus comedy, probably. But
he said wistfully, "Let me see what I can do about that." Mark Luis, is Jack on the line? Well, Jack, say something if you're really on the line.
Hello.
There he is.
Jack, sorry to bother you on a Sunday afternoon there, Jack.
What do you want? Why do people call me on the Sabbath?
That's right.
You know, it's the Lord's Day, and I'm praying.
Jack, this is Mark Hoffman. I'm here with Steve LaRosa. We're just talking about the fact that we're having a little discrepancy here. Steve is saying that you're bringing back your popular music concert, and it's your farewell tour. And I sort of thought you were a comedy guy. So so we're going to give up the music and keep going with the comedy, or are you just retiring completely, or are you just confused?
Well, if you hear me sing, then you'll understand the title of the show. Because the joke is on me.
Not true. He has great pipes.
Really?
Jack's a good singer.
It's a very long story that I won't bore you with, but mm-hmm. It started about 9 years ago as a one-off, and it has been popular enough that this is our eighth show in 9 years. I will mention that we do new songs every time, and the price is the same as it was in 2010.
Wow.
No inflation here.
Price of a ticket. And, I've put together with Tommy Dunbar, who's a local musician, a member of the band The Rubinews. We put together this all-star band, and for years we did it at the 24th Street Theater. This is our second show at the Sophia B Street Theater. And it's just a lot of fun. We do a bunch of different cover tunes, and the band is amazing. And my thing is, if they play loud enough, I don't sound bad at all.
Yeah, but also, he's being a little modest here. Uh-huh. Jack peppers the spaces in between the songs with some great music trivia. Am I right, Jack?
Yeah, I happen to have a... I always say that I don't know how many feet are in a mile, but I know all the people that were in whatever band you want to mention, which is useless knowledge.
So, Jack, what kind of music does your band play for people who have not heard you play before in one of the other 8 years?
Well, we do songs by Warren Zevon. We do songs by the band The Mavericks. We do a Beatles tune this year. We do stuff by the Rascals, by everybody from Paul Revere and the Raiders to the Beatles to Edison Lighthouse.
He also pulled one way, way back out of the archives. Uh-huh. Are you doing the one by the Box Tops, Jack?
No, we're not doing that one this year.
Okay.
But we have, we did Sweet Cream Ladies a couple of years ago. This year we're doing songs by, new songs by the Struts. By Squeeze and the old 97s. We do a drug medley of drug songs from the 60s. And then we do the pro-drug medley. And then just to make sure that we cover all the bases, we do the anti-drug medley. We do all songs that are pro-drug, and then we do the songs that were anti-drug.
So if you would like to be a part of this, and this is the last time for the band, right?
Yeah, this is the last time for the band. I want to make clear, I've been running into people around town, want to make clear that this is the last show with the band, but I'm writing a new one-person show for the B Street that'll go up in the fall. But this is the last chance, and Steve's been to a couple of these shows, and I think he can tell you, they're just a lot of fun. We get people up from the audience to sing background vocals, we do some giveaway stuff, I tell stories in between about the bands or the music, since I have this useless rock and roll knowledge. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a fun evening.
Tickets still available?
We have some tickets still available. Unfortunately, the two Saturday shows are sold out, but we have a 4 o'clock show on Sunday where there are some tickets available. And this is my demographic, so it's 4 o'clock. We'll have you home by 6.
Now that's Sunday, March 3rd.
Sunday, March 3rd at 4 o'clock. And my motto is, we will have everyone home before the streetlights come on.
There you go. Link to the tickets at travelguysradio.com. You can go see Jack Gallagher and his band. Thank you, Jack, for popping in
for a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, Jack.
Anything else here, Mr. LaRosa, before we move on?
No, it's a fun show. It's the best value for your entertainment dollar in Sacramento.
That sounds awesome. Everything from Gordon Lightfoot, the Irish Rovers, and Jack Gallagher. Coming up next on the Travel Guys, we're going to take you to San Francisco. We're going to talk to the ladies who wrote 100 things to do in San Francisco before you die, and we're going to tell you about a half a dozen of them that maybe you haven't heard of before. Next on the Travel Guys.
If you're going to San Francisco, be sure.
Welcome back to the last lap on the Travel Guys. Steve LaRosa has set in for Tom Romano today. Life-changing experience, huh, Steve?
It's going to be 3 pages in my journal when I get home.
That's what I'm thinking about. A report to the home office, and but you'll want your autobiographer to include this. We have two ladies on the phone with us, Kimberly Lovato, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, and Jill Robinson. Ladies, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This is Kimberly. Hi,
hey.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, you're welcome. These ladies, Steve, have a book. You have a copy of it there.
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Yours is not as dog-eared as mine because, as you can see here, I've gone through mine and found... I told the ladies, I said, they said, well, would you like to have us on? And I said, yeah, but more than once because there's too much of this stuff to be able... There's too much cool stuff. If you've been... You've lived in Northern California, what, all your life here?
I have.
Okay. And I've been here almost all of my life, except for a few infant years. So people in Sacramento go to San Francisco often. They go to eat and to drink and to events and to all kinds of on business and all kinds of stuff.
But what do they do, Mark?
But what do they do? And that's why we have Kimberly and Jill here with us to tell us what to do. 100 things to do in San Francisco before you die. Let me tell you before we start that at travelguysradio.com, there is a link. So if you decide that you would like to get this little book, you can do so just by going to our website. So ladies, can we jump right in and go after some of the ones that I've kind of dog-eared here?
Absolutely.
Is that okay? Somewhere along the way, we'll find out why you decided to do this. Okay, so let's start with a couple of culinary things here. Number 4 on your thing on your list here is sink your teeth into an egg tart at Golden Gate Bakery. I've seen the line outside of this bakery. Tell us a little bit about the egg tarts.
Yeah, so it's it's in Chinatown. It's in the heart of Chinatown on Grant Avenue in San Francisco, and it's this old bakery that has other items there, but they're known for these flaky egg tarts. And in fact, they look like little lemon pies, but they are egg tarts, a traditional Chinese dessert. And they're extremely popular, and people do line up on Grant Street to go get them. And sometimes you show up, like I did last time my nieces were in town, and they have a sign outside that says, sorry, no egg tarts today. So it's not only a great challenge to get them, but they are worth it when they come right out of the oven hot. So grab a couple.
Ooh, yum. And right across the page here, you've got another little Chinatown stop. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, you must be talking about the Hong Ah Tea Room.
Uh-huh.
This is one of my, yes. This is, and so dim sum is quite popular in San Francisco. It's popular everywhere, I suppose. But this is one of my favorite places in San Francisco and in Chinatown because it does feel a little bit off the beaten path. It's out of the main touristy area, for lack of a better description, of Chinatown. But it's a tiny little place. It almost feels like it's underground, and it's been in San Francisco since 1920. And they call themselves the oldest dim sum restaurant in America, and they have great affordable dim sum, like shrimp dumplings, soup dumplings, and it's a great place to go.
Steve, are you a fan of Dungeness crab?
I just bought a bunch of crab last week, and I turned out the lights and lit a candle, and because I wasn't going to share it with anybody.
You're the same way I am. Dungeness crab is like a religious experience almost for me. So, and we are, we're in right in the middle of crab season now, and the ladies have in their book here, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die, they've got some Dungeness crab tips. Ladies?
Yeah, it's surprising how long the Dungeness crab season. In 2018, it opened on November 3rd, and south of the Mendocino-Sonoma County border, it's going to go through the end of June, and north of that border, it goes through the end of July. But apparently, the majority of the crab that's picked up is usually November, December, mainly because the boats are out there right away. But also, a lot of us like buying really early on.
What's a cup of crab cost on Fisherman's Wharf these days?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I don't know.
Well, a crab cocktail will cost you probably $12 to $15. It's food in San Francisco has gotten a little more expensive.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap, but is there anything better than a fresh Dungeness crab cocktail? The great thing about a crab cocktail is that it's portable.
Oh yeah,
you can eat it as you go. You can eat it as you go down the street.
And if somebody cracks it for you, baby.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm a big fan of Whole Foods, because if you go and buy their crab, it's a couple dollars more, but they will clean it all up for you and everything. So, ladies, if we're going to get crab in San Francisco, where do we go?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you mentioned the wharf, Whole Foods. If you're, if you have a place to eat it, go ahead and that. But San Francisco, what I love about it is there are a lot of creative chefs here doing I mean, you can eat the whole crab, cracked crab, but you can also find it in, you know, cheesy crab dip or in an egg roll or, you know, stuff like our, you know, crab salad. So they put Dungeness crab in cioppino. So if you love crab, then you have a lot of ways you can taste it here in San Francisco.
Now, there's some places down on the wharf to get crab, but you ladies have got a place in the Castro that in your book. Tell me about the Anchor Oyster Bar.
Oh, that's a great old school type place. Well, I shouldn't say old school, but it's been there a while. It's a really popular place for fresh seafood, oysters. They do have crab in season, and they also have cioppino, which is San Francisco's seafood stew, and they put crab in that as well. And that's a great place. It's right down the street from the Castro Theater. So it's a great lunch before you go see a movie or something.
Ah, we're going to double back to the Castro Theater in just a minute. Let's one more foodie place here, and then we'll switch over to some entertainment stops. Number 25 on your list is Say Cheese at the Cheese School of San Francisco. What do they have to offer somebody who goes to San Francisco for the day?
Well, first of all, what great homework you will have at the Cheese School. It is a two-story place that just moved over from the Mission over to Ghirardelli Square at the end of last summer, and they have classes from beer and cheese pairing to wine and cheese sparkling. They offer professional classes. You can sign up for class and learn how to make mozzarella and burrata. They also have a retail store where you can pick a whole bunch of different kinds of cheese. They'll let you taste. And they have a great cafe there if you want mac and cheese or grilled cheese. It's all cheese all the time, for sure.
Wow. Wow. That sounds like fun. All right, let's switch to entertainment here a little bit. What would a visit? People come from all over the country. And they say, my relatives in Missouri who come to California are saying, what is this I hear about this show, Beach Blanket Babylon, with all of these hats and stuff?
The best.
If you go to San Francisco, you have to see this
the
show.
The best.
Don't you think, ladies?
Oh, you absolutely have to see it. Although I have a very guilty thing to admit that I grew up in the Bay Area, have lived almost all my life in the Bay Area, and still have not seen Beach Blanket Babylon.
Oh, no.
Stop the presses.
Oh, my goodness. And, of course, we have to tell you that Beach Blanket Babylon tends to be a little bit of an adult-oriented show. I mean, not that it's super nasty, but there tends to be some adult themes. There is a matinee on Sundays where that you can take the children, but otherwise it's just a bit of an adult show.
And always changes with the headlines of the day.
It does, and the holiday show. Show is hard to get into. If you want a ticket, you've got to buy it several months in advance. But Beach Blanket Babylon is San Francisco. It encompasses everything that you need to know about San Francisco if you go. And there are some wonderful restaurants in North Beach that you can hit up. Okay, ladies, before we run out of time here, I wanted to ask you about two more entertainment venues. The sing-alongs at the Castro Theater. I have a friend who tells me that you need to come down to the Castro the next time that The Sound of Music or Grease or something like that is on. Tell me about, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Everyone gets completely into it at the Castro for the sing-alongs. They do have a regular film season, but the sing-alongs are really when people will dress up, bring their kids. The next sing-along is a week from today, Sunday, February 24th at 11:30. And the sing-along, the film is Moana. So I think I have to bring my daughter.
Oh, wow. Wow. But what do they charge to get into the Castro for the sing-alongs? 10, 15 bucks?
$16 for adults, $11 for kids.
That's cool. The Castro Theater is a wonderful old house there in the Castro district of San Francisco. All right, one more entertainment venue here that you listed in your book. Not that there's anything spectacular to do here, but just because it's such a San Francisco landmark is the Fillmore.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, who hasn't heard of the Fillmore? It's, been around since 1912, though it really wasn't called the Fillmore then. But, I mean, there are some just legendary bands that have gone through there. The Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, The Doors, Pink Floyd, B.B. King. I mean, you name it. And there's still a a show almost every night of the week. They have their old, they're famous for their old psychedelic movie.
Ladies, I hate to interrupt you. We are running out of time. We will have you back, though, again, I promise, on the Travel Guys. Go to travelguysradio.com. You can see a link to their book, 100 Things to Do in San Francisco Before You Die. Steve, thank you for filling in for Tom.
You bet, Mark.
Okay, we'll see you next Sunday. Tom Romano will be back on the Travel Guys.
Traveler is always leaving town. He never